There's been a lot of talk about this next song. This song is not a rebel song. This song is Sunday, like Sunday. I can't believe the news today. I can't close my eyes and make it go away. How long? How long? Must we sing this song? How long? Too long. For too long. Tonight, we can be as one. Tonight, tonight, tonight. Broken models under children's feet.
Headline: Spector vows in-depth hearing on Bush spying. Arlen Specter promised a thorough investigation into Bush's once-secret eavesdropping program on al-Qaeda suspects here and abroad. Objection! They print that like it's a fact that Bush is only spying on al-Qaeda suspects. They are lying to us. The USA Today is a whore paper whose purpose, I suppose, number one, is to make money, but number two is to protect Bush. In their own damn paper, we've seen reports how Bush is spying on peace, whatever, pacifist organizations. They're spying on PETA, the ethical treatment for animals people. How is that al-Qaeda? They are lying. One of my favorites, Christopher Hitchens, we had this in the page a while back. Christopher Hitchens says his overseas sources have been compromised because I don't know how he knows, but he says the NSA has been listening to his conversations. Now, as much as I dislike that bastard Christopher Hitchens, I don't think he's anywhere near an al-Qaeda terrorist. And for them to suggest that Bush is only spying on the bad guys is just laughable on its face. The son of a bitch has misused every bit of power he's ever had his whole life, just like Tom DeLay using the Patriot Act to track down those Texas Democrats that ran out and went to Oklahoma. And, of course, the Democrats don't call him on it. They never do. They don't mind. Jesus, what will it take? We're going to explore it in depth, Specter said on this horror with Judas Maximus. The committee will hold hearings in the program in February. Bush authorized the NSA to eavesdrop without warrants on international calls and emails of Americans and others inside the USA with suspected ties to terrorism. Bullshit. Twice in two paragraphs, they've absolutely lied straight to our face. The idea that he's only listening to suspected ties with terrorists. PETA does not support terrorists. Neither do the pacifist organizations. Neither does Christopher Hitchens. They just lie straight to our face. But I don't guess the U.S. whore today is any worse than any other paper. They all lie. They look you right in the eye and they tell you there are 55 states in the United States. And the Democrats say, that's right. That's how many there are. Oh. And speaking of wanting to smack a Democrat, let me quote Dianne Feinstein. She's on Face the Whore with Bob Schieffer. I was impressed with Alito's ability to maintain a very even demeanor, Feinstein said. I think there is an additional weight you must give to his background, his qualifications, and his ability. Not only is she refusing to filibuster, but she's given ammunition to the other side. We call that being a traitor. If we get an honorable Democrat to vote against him, they're going to say, why are you being so partisan? Even Dianne Feinstein agrees the guy is so super qualified, she just can't believe how super qualified he is. And who's another one? Wait, I just found it. His name is Ben Nelson of Nebraska. Big headline, Senate Democrat Nelson backs Alito. Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska said he will vote to confirm federal peers, Alito, to the Supreme Court. Nelson, the first Democrat to announce support for Alito, cited, quote, his impeccable judicial credentials, the American Bar Association's strong recommendation, and his pledge that he would not bring a political agenda to the court. Oh, you idiot! You idiot! You mean if a liar promises to tell the truth, now he's an honest man? He sat there and lied right to your face again and again, and now you're going to take his word for it. The Judiciary Committee is set to vote on Alito January 24th. If he's approved, debate on the Senate floor would open January 25th. Why bother to debate? The handjob Democrats are going to give this guy anything he wants. They're going to do whatever they're told to do by Mr. Rove. Why are we bothering with a debate? If they're going to cave in, why take a week to cave in? Why not cave in early, save the time and the money? That way they can get on to caving in other issues as well. There's no reason to wait. What is it going to take to get a Democrat to stand up and do his damn job? Are you sending money to the Democrats? You'd be doing a lot better sending that money to BartCop.com or a whole bunch of these other sites out there. Don't send it to the Democrats. They're not going to fight for you. They keep asking you for money. Help us stop Bush. And then you send them the money and they say, yes, Mr. President, whatever you want. Your fascist Nazis are so qualified. Of course we're going to vote for them. Of course we are. You know we are, George. We're right behind you. Saw a picture of Daschle on television yesterday. And I'm thinking, Daschle, what did you do? You went out of your way to play nice with Bush, and what did he do? He flew to your home state, I forget which Dakota it is, and campaigned against you. That's how he paid you back for helping him. You idiot, Daschle. And Democrats are so stupid, they can't learn from that. They can't say, Mr. President, you're asking for a cooperation, but remember Senator Daschle, who's no longer with us? You went out of your way to screw Daschle after he helped you on some stuff. Hell, I think Daschle voted for the war, so they went out of his way to paint him as Tom Osama, and now he's out of Congress. Well, maybe he was too stupid to stay. Maybe this is a Darwin theory thing, but why are the Democrats so stupid that they can't figure it out? Bush is going to screw them no matter what, so they jump in line to kiss his ass. Can anybody explain that? Sons of bitches, they won't fight for our side, yet they don't mind fighting for their side. If you don't want to fight for our side, could you just shut the hell up and just stay off the record? Why do you have to go on record helping the bad guys? And Alito's going to get in there, and he's going to screw up everything he can. He's going to vote with Thomas and Scalia every time. Sons of bitches. What will it take to get a Democrat to do the right thing? Please tell me. Don't have it in front of me, but I see where two television stations in Arkansas have taken that new show, The Book of Daniel, off the air. Because they said, quote, viewers didn't like the way they were treating God. Well, again, that's just another lie. You can't speak for the viewers. Surely there was some. You get some hand job like that Brent Bozell, or I forget the other guy's name, but they have, you know, these 150 VCR set up, and they monitor every show there's ever been. And if they see anything that they might not like, they send a hot little letter to everyone in their organization, and all of a sudden the FCC gets 2,000 complaints, and they think this must be the worst show of all time, so they yank it off the air. That is just crazy. I mean, these stations in Arkansas did it voluntarily, but what is wrong with people that they can't change the channel? They are so personally unsure of their religion that they'll do anything they can to force someone else to think their way about their religion. Seems like we fought a war with England to prevent that, but how quickly we forget.
The Toyota Halftime Show. Here now, Al Michaels.
These days, celebrity and sports is almost an everyday combination on television. Wasn't always that way. You go back to the beginning of Monday Night Football, and that was probably the genesis. So we'll look back right now at some of the great action off the field on Monday night over the last 36 seasons. So what did you think? I mean, you're going to go in there with Howard Cosell and Don Meredith, and it's a new template. Nobody had ever done anything like that before. How'd you think it was going to play out?
Well, it amazed me the way it did play out. My role was to keep law and order, I think. Howard pontificated, and he went off on things that nobody could even deal with. I think America really accepted it because there was a thing about Don Meredith, who was that country guy who was going to set that big city slicker straight, and I kept law and order. That's what it was for a lot of years, and it seemed to work. People seemed to like it.
A million memories. I mean, just what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
So many things happened on Monday night, Al, other than football. People say, what game do you remember the most? And there are not games, but I remember the death of John Lennon. I remember the earthquake in San Francisco. I remember the mayor being shot in San Francisco. Ronald Reagan and John Lennon in the booth as I turned around and looked up, and Ronald Reagan had his arm around John Lennon explaining American football. Now, that's something kind of special.
Makes you feel good all over.
Hey, Bart. It's Barry Crimmins. Happy holidays. I wanted to give you an audio read of my special holiday greeting to Bill O'Reilly. Mary Solstice, Bill. At a time when the nation found itself distracted by frivolities such as an unjust and illegal war, torture scandals, congressional scandals, statewide scandals, energy prices plunging an icy dagger into the hearts of American families, the continued calamitous ramifications of Katrina, and a White House overrun by felons and even traitors, leave it to Bill O'Reilly to bring the focus back to an issue we've all been ducking for far too long, holiday salutations. And who better than O'Reilly to appoint himself as Jesus' personal savior? Even if the Fox News host has things he'd much rather be doing with a marital aid, his anus, his leprechaunic Irish penis, a speakerphone, a loofah, some falafel, and an unwilling employee, he found the time to speak up for the vast majority of Americans, the oft-overlooked Christians. Christians who had become much too lax with department store employees' godless use of phrases such as, Happy Holidays. O'Reilly saw through this Jewish, Islamic, Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, pagan, Wicca, agnostic, atheist plot and spearheaded a drive to forcibly put the phrase Merry Christmas back in the mouths of those who during the rest of the year sincerely urge us to have a good one. By way of thanks, I'd like to send along this special holiday greeting to Mr. O'Reilly. Go fuck yourself. You have the technology. For more of this, you can go to bostonphoenix.com and read my year-in-review piece. Also, keep listening to The Randy Broad Show. My best to all. Keep up the great work, Bart. Love you, baby. Take care.
That's my good friend Barry Crimmins of BarryCrimmins.com. And if you don't know, he is the head comedy writer for Randy Rhodes. All those little funny bits you hear Randy doing, or I guess the pre-taped bits, that's Barry's writing. Thanks, dude.
How you doing, Bart? This is your old pal George talking to you. I've been hit by a car back in November, and I've been recuperating ever since. I've been unable to talk for a while. Just want you to keep swinging the hammer, Bart. We're going to crush Bush's nuts and Rhodes, too, one way or another. Thank you.
Ouch. Getting hit by a car. That's got to suck. Sorry to hear about that, dude. You sound pretty strong, though. Glad you're back.
Hi, Bart. It's Dr. Babs, and I spent Christmas in New York City. I have a couple of complaints about the way the administration handled the transit strike. In addition to not being able to take a bus or a metro train, what people know as the subway, also the rules for cabs were changed, and the result was that they could charge you 3 to 5 times as much to ride a cab. So a $12 ride was going to cost us $60 on the night, the first night of the strike. And so we talked them down to $30, but we had to walk 23 blocks. It was incredible. And the second thing is that the police were out in force, and they were constantly closing off side roads. So basically, the Bloomberg administration wanted to make everyone suffer to turn us even more against the striking transit workers than we already were, which I never was. I was totally supporting the transit workers, yet, you know, they were claiming all kinds of things in the media. They're illegal, we're going to fine them, et cetera, they're going to jail. And plus, they were totally messing up the whole traffic in New York City. Anyway, I just want to say that, at least half of the blame for the problems due to the strike was due to Bloomberg. All right. Great show. Love the site. Talk to you later. Thanks for the trip reports, especially. Bye.
There was something I didn't understand about the big strike in New York. Maybe someone could explain it to me. As the strike went on for a day or two, they're saying, oh, this is such a crushing blow. It's the most important city in the world, and now it's shut down. And I think they said they were losing $1 billion a day, and here it was right before Christmas and everything. And I'm thinking, well, why not pay the people? If you're going to stand there and say, oh, this is crushing us, we can't do without these people are essential for New York, they're essential for America, the whole city's paralyzed, well, then pay the people. You know, it's like the firemen or the cops or something. If they can't make a living doing what they're doing, then maybe you should pay them a little bit more. It just, again, I don't know a lot about it, and I take it back, don't explain it to me, because there's no time to go backwards, but it just seems to me that the city was making the workers' case. Every time they whined about how horrible it was to not have the workers, you think, well, then write a check. It seems kind of easy to me. And thanks to Dr. Babs for writing in. She's one of my favorite callers.
Tom, you're a left-wing kook. Everything you try to do, everything the Democrats try to do, just backfire and blow up in your face. You can't win at the ballot box. You can't win elections anymore. You can't do crap. Bush will prevail. You will lose. Guaranteed.
Well, first of all, I'm not a left-wing kook. I might be a kook, but you can't hardly call me a left-wing kook. Sounds like a mistake on your part, mystery right-winger. Your second point is better. Yes, it is hard for us to win at the ballot box because we don't fight. We expect the other guy to not throw any punches, and then while he's kicking our ass, we handcuff ourselves and we refuse to throw any return punches. So, yes, you have a point. Until the Democrats join the fight, they can't win. Will they join the fight later this year in November? Hard to say. So far, we see no signs of it. No signs at all.
Yeah, this is old Bart Cohen on the Bart phone here. I had an idea. I'm driving in my car where I have a lot of ideas. Just heard him talking on the AAR about the Fourth Amendment and that idiot Bush. You know, it'd be a great question to ask him at a press conference. Mr. President, could you please explain to us what the Fourth Amendment means? And all he could say would be, well, I don't have it here in front of me. I'm sure you got a copy of it. But think, what if you went and bought you a brand new car? Let's say you got a raise, got a big promotion. You thought, damn it, I hadn't had a new car in 15 years. I'm going to go buy me a damn new car. So you go spend $20,000 on a brand new car. And as you're signing the papers, you ask them to go over the warranty again. They say, well, we guarantee we're going to fix this. We guarantee we're going to fix that. Anything goes wrong the first, whatever, 3 years, we're going to take care of, no problemo. So you drive it off the lot. Oh, of course, you pay cash for it, we'll say. You borrow the money from your rich brother-in-law or something. So you pay cash for it. You drive it off the lot. You get about a mile down the road, and the transmission falls out, and the engine starts smoking, and nothing it works, and you got a dead sled, as they say, in the car business. You got your $20,000 sled sitting there, which means it can only move if you drag it. And so you walk back to the auto dealership, and he says, hey, dude, let's talk about that warranty. And they say, we're not going to honor the warranty. And you say, well, why the hell not? And these guys says, 9/11. We're at war. What the hell's wrong with you? Don't you understand? We're at war, 9/11. We don't honor no guarantees. We don't honor no warranties. That's what Bush is telling us. We're at war. You don't have a constitution anymore. Everybody in this country is born with certain inalienable rights that they're guaranteed under the Constitution, guaranteed. But Bush has decided, well, we're at war, so screw that guarantee. I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the law says. I don't care what the Constitution says. It's what I want to do, so that's what we're going to do. And the Democrats stand there and say, well, okay, we're disappointed in the president's reaction, but we understand. We'll be quiet. Wouldn't want to make Mr. Rove mad. We've lost our guarantee. You understand what that means? We were guaranteed shit in the Constitution. Bush said, never mind. Are we going to just take it?
Bart, this is George W. Bush, the president. Your website amuses me sometimes because it's funny to think that you can stop me from breaking the law whenever I want. It amuses me because when I'm out there clearing the brush, I ask my cronies if they have read BartCop.com. Well, I gotta go now, so there's plenty more brush to be cleared. This is a Jack Daniels kind of brush right here. This is a 120-proof brush, and we're gonna clear it up. And thank you, Bart Cop, for being a great American. Hi, Bart. I wanted to say something that you probably know. I'm sure you know it. A lot of people know it. There's some people that don't know it, though. And just for those people, I would like to point out this simple fact of life, and that is the host of Hardball, Chris Matthews, is a total asshole. He's just a complete Republican tool. I can't believe what a shill this clown is, saying Tom DeLay, he doesn't live all that well, he doesn't live an extravagant lifestyle. Bullshit. This guy gets flown around in corporate jets to play golf all over the world. He's welcome in boardrooms everywhere he goes. people lay out the red carpet for Tom DeLay because they know that they can get government contracts by doing this. But no, to hear Matthews tell us, oh, he's just a hardscrabble guy. He's just got a simple apartment. God, Matthews, you suck. You are an embarrassment to your profession. You're an embarrassment to the world. You should do yourself a favor and quit your job. I wish I could say more, but I'm just going to let it go at that. Just quit your job and quit bothering normal people. All right, thanks. Have a good day. And keep swinging the big hammer, Bart.
Well, of course, I agree. Chris Matthews is there to shill for the rich. That's his job. Keep the rich happy. Keep those tax cuts coming. He is a Republican. He'll tell you he's a Democrat, but he's not. He's one of those. He's a Democrat like Christopher Hitchens is. He's a Democrat like Andrew Sullivan is. They all claim to be Democrats, but then again, they love W and everything the Republicans stand for, and they hate the Clintons and everything the Democrats stand for. So, yeah, you're right. Go to hell, Chris.
Hey, Bart. Matt here in Northwest Iowa. Say, you're asking the question on your page today, how crazy is Iran? They're taunting Bush, daring him to bomb them. You know, the president of Iran is even pissing off the Israelis. How could he be so damn crazy? How could the Iranian people elect such a crazy Pat Robertson-like son of a bitch to be their president? Well, of course, I can't prove it, but Bart, I'm just thinking outside the box on this one. We rigged the election. Well, we didn't. The BFEE covertly rigged that election to put a crazy son of a bitch in power. So our crazy son of a bitch in power would have an excuse to bomb him. I don't know. Like I say, I like to think outside the box. And I don't even wear a tinfoil hat. Keep swinging the hammer, Bart. And I really hope to God I'm not right this time.
Well, at first glance, what you say sounds a little crazy. But then again, when you involved the CIA and a disregard for the laws and unlimited money, you can make almost anything happen. You're right. They could have secretly funneled millions of dollars to this guy. I don't know if they even have campaigns in Iran or whatever, but yeah, they could have done a whole lot to help this bastard get elected. And you're right. If he calls Bush a bunch of names, that gives Bush the right in his mind to go invade, steal their oil. That way we can occupy Afghanistan, Iran, and Iraq and kill 10 soldiers a day instead of 4. Perfect.
This is dedicated to Sean Hannity. Ostracized by the left and praised by the right. On TV with Alan Colmes every single weeknight. Arrogant and obnoxious and full of meanness. He's the creature without a penis.
Just elated. I am just that this part is over, and I feel as though the U.S. Supreme Court did justice in recognizing the feelings and the needs of the people who have this terminal illness.
She has been suffering, the woman you saw there, Charlene Andrews, from terminal cancer for now something on the order of 6 years. They were celebrating the Supreme Court's decision today that said that the Ashcroft Justice Department had overreached when it used a federal anti-drug law to strike down or to ban Oregon's assisted suicide statute, which these people were hoping to take advantage of when the time comes. What about this ruling? How far does it go? How far does it not go? What issues does it raise?
Well, it raises profound issues, moral issues and policy issues. On the most limited level, what the Attorney General had used a regulation interpreting the law, the Controlled Substances Act, to deny the right of the physicians of Oregon to fulfill what had been passed twice in a state referendum. And the Supreme Court struck that down, saying that he didn't have the authority under this law. So that's a fairly narrow thing, which presumably Congress could reverse.
Anybody remember a man named Ronald Reagan? He was a president from 1981 to 1989. I mean, he had the title. He was president in name only because Bush was running things back then. But remember, probably the most famous thing that Reagan ever said was, government isn't the solution, government is the problem. I remember in the 2000 Republican primaries, everybody was fawning over themselves to say, oh, I'm more like Reagan than you are. No, I'm more like Reagan than you are. Again and again. And Reagan's most famous thing he ever did was he talked about smaller government. Of course, then he went on to spend more than every president combined. But he talked about smaller government. And these days, smaller government is the last thing in the world anybody talks about. Clinton said the era of big government is over, and he made the government smaller, but then this idiot Bush got appointed, and he's just gone crazy. What in the world is wrong with them? Why would they want to pass a law that says if you're in a whole lot of pain, you have to stay in a whole lot of pain? I would like less government, please. Could I sign up for less government? I sure would like to get less government. Remember, Will Rogers said, thank God we don't get all the government we pay for. Boy, was he right. I say we should want less government. I want everybody out of my way. Government ought to be keeping giant corporations in check. But why don't they get the hell out of our bedrooms, get the hell out of our deathbeds, get the hell out of our lives, and stay the fuck out. Just go away.
I would prefer that people did palliative care, relief of suffering, and stuff like that. But if I had a terminal illness and I was in pain and it could not be controlled, would I want the right to commit suicide? I would.
That was Morton Kondracki providing a little bit of common sense to this circle jerk on Fox News. How dare he think different than the no great leader, Der Monkey? How dare he have an opinion about how he wants to go out? I'm surprised that's not illegal for a Republican to disagree with Der Monkey on something.
Opponents of physician-assisted suicide feel that this is going to be the beginning of many, many states trying to pass laws like this.
You know, if we could depend on the government to stay the hell out of our personal affairs, I wouldn't mind if the states had individual rules on this, which kind of contradicts a long position I've had. But if, let's say, Oregon passes legal marijuana and they make it legal to go out with barbiturates instead of a shotgun, now a fella could move to Oregon, you know, but with my luck, I moved to Oregon, buy a house, and Bush will just say, well, never mind your laws. We're going to overrule you from here. Because, again, with Reagan, how many times did Reagan say, who knows more about your life, you and your doctor or some federal bureaucrat back in Washington? And now they've decided, screw everything Reagan believed in. The federal bureaucrats in Washington know everything better than you. Every decision should be made by these old fat white guys in Washington who never met you. They're just stabbing Reagan in the back. Every idea he ever had, all his ideals about smaller government, they just don't care. They see money to be stolen, so they steal it.
The Oregon law, I mean, as a citizen of Oregon, I would really vote against this law and try to change it. I mean, the safeguards for the people who are suffering are not sufficient, in my view. You could be suffering from something and be depressed. Ask, as I understand it, ask a physician for these drugs that would end your life. There's not much.
The concurring opinion.
Two doctors, but not much more in the way of safeguards. And a lot of people get depressed and think the situation is worse than it is and don't understand that palliative care is available. So I'm very hostile to this kind of physician-assisted suicide.
That's Bill Kristol trying to take away your right to die like you want to and keep the government out of your business. This is Bill Kristol wanting more government, more interference in your lives. Remember Reagan always talked about if we could get the boot off our throats, the Washington boot off our throats. That's what we need. Well, here's Bill Kristol putting on his boot so he can step on these old ladies and these old men's lives when they're racked with pain instead of you know, say it takes three doctors, fine. Fix the problem. Don't say, I'm against it. I'll fight to kill this law because there's not enough regulations. Well, add the regulations. Fight for the third doctor. Don't throw it out the window. What the hell's wrong with you, Bill? You're not a Republican. You don't want smaller government.
So where we are now is if Congress chose to ban this, it could, so far as we can tell. There's no right to die enshrined
the
in the Constitution.
The Supreme Court has already decided that.
There's no right to die.
I think you're wrong there. That's Brett Hume, fascist bastard that he is, deciding that there is no right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To me, the pursuit of happiness means I don't want to live in this pain anymore. Your drugs can't stop the pain. I'm tired of it. I have a right to my happiness if it affects nobody else. Get the hell out of my way. Can you believe they would even think of that? And the reason they're doing it, the reason they want more government is because they think this time it's a morality issue. Well, all the times that the Democrats wanted a morality issue addressed, you'd say, no, we want smaller government. Screw those blacks on welfare. They don't need their monthly checks. Screw those old people and their Social Security and their Medicare. Old people don't need medicine. Screw all that. We need less government. But when they see a chance, I don't even know why would anybody feel strongly about this who wasn't involved, unless it's a appeal to the idiot church crowd. You know, say, God wants you to be in massive pain. God wants you to go through years of pain before you die. That's what God wants. So we have to do what God wants, always with what God wants. Well, if we could get rid of religious insanity.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more of a separation of powers issue in a way, whereas the majority of the Supreme Court stepped in and, in a sense, vindicated the state's rights against this executive branch interpretation of a federal law. So it might be interesting as a sort of separation of powers issue.
It is interesting to see the court's liberals and moderates being the ones that are stepping in favor of states' rights, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And interesting to see conservatives
exactly,
on the other side,
right,
too.
Right, exactly.
So what causes that? Why is that? Why do they end up on the opposite side?
Well, Brett, why are you asking the question? You feel very strongly that we need a whole lot more government involved in people's private medical decisions. Why don't you explain yourself instead of looking up in the air and say, what makes people do that? No, asshole, what makes you do that? I'm consistent. I want government out of my life almost every single time. I want less government when it comes to drug laws. I want less government when it comes to censorship. I want less government when it comes to a woman's right to choose. I want less government when it comes time to make a decision on whether or not I want to continue living. I want less government, less government, less government. It's the Republicans that want more and more and more and more.
Antonin Scalia said that this all came down to a naked value judgment, and the conservatives are pro-life, and the others are pro-choice on this kind of matter. Individual rights, you want to die, you have a right to take your own life.
You watch. Bush is probably going to have some hand job in the House, come up with legislation. They should call it, if the Democrats had any brains, they would call it the More Pain Bill. Bush's More Pain Bill. What is that, Bart? Well, that's if you're dying, he wants you to suffer through more pain. When you want to get away from constant pain, Bush says no. You have to stay with the constant pain. We're going to paint that constant pain all over you, and you can never get rid of it ever. And we're going to keep you alive against your will. So you can go through more pain, because it's what God wants. And like always, the Democrats will roll over and let them do whatever they want.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. Sunday, bloody Sunday.